This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 13th of December, 1962. The title of this lecture is Repair of R212. This tape is 70 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, this is St. Hill Special Briefing Course, Lecture Number 2, 13 December, AD 12. Well, there's nothing much to talk to you about now. You know everything. And I noticed the end of the last lecture, you looked a little bit disheartened. And there is a direct law concerning your disheartenment. There's a law that embraces this. It's the more you goof, the more disheartened you will get. That's a law. We're now not dealing with an area of we hope the process can be tailor-made for the PC. We hope the process works on the PC. We're not dealing with that type of material right at the present moment. We're dealing with open and shut material. It is always very dismaying for an auditor to fool around with something like that, because there's only one person that shows up, and that's the auditor. Now, for a little while, an auditor who's being shown up has a tendency to try to kick back against the material. He's not producing a result, he thinks, or he's goofed up, so he doesn't know that the material will produce a result. So on a technique such as 212, it is necessary that somebody be shoved hard through to a win. Actually, it requires a subjective and an objective win on the part of the auditor. If he wins on a PC, and he gets a win on it himself, he consistently gets some more wins showing that it wasn't a fluke. Now he knows very definitely that it is the matter of his auditing, and it is not the technique. Now this is a hard thing to confront. It's something like somebody saying to you suddenly, be responsible. And it's kind of a nerve-wracking situation. You could always lay it off on something else. Now, R212 has the characteristic, however, of producing results if it is done right. Now, oddly enough, it'll produce results when it's not done absolutely right. And therefore is fairly hard material. You will at first regard it as very critical material, and you will have people around in organizations and so forth telling everybody that it is very, very difficult, and that they have to study very, very hard, and they have to this and they have to that, and after they've passed 115 check sheets and run around the block on their hands and so forth, then they will be permitted to sit in and watch a session in which an item is being found, you see? You'll get this kind of stuff. Actually, that is not the approach which I advocate at all. Approach I advocate is take the guy by the scruff of the neck, throw him into the session, say, produce a result. Make sure he's getting audited on it at the same time, so he gets a subjective and objective reality. Then his interest is picked. He sees something is happening around here. And then he wants to know why it's happening around here, and therefore he studies it not just as a grind or a rote, but he studies it as something that will do something. And that's a lot different than the attitude of, well, if I study this very hard, I will get a class 4, see, or if I study this very hard, I'll get a class 2, or something like that. No, it's there is something here. And if I study this, why, I will be successful with PCs. Therefore, the auditor wants to know all about it. Hey, well, how's this thing work? And obviously, it has an unlimited number of variables. It's just obviously, when you first look at it, you'll say, oh my. This thing must have hundreds of laws, you know, and there's all kinds of special cases and special conditions, and there's all kinds of this, there's all kinds of that, and how devastating, you know. And nevertheless, he still stays fairly willing. And just like I did on you in the last lecture, I throw something brand new in your lap and say, get a clean needle before you start knowing. That's pretty grim. And it'll be grim right up to the moment when in your next session you get a clean needle. And you take a look at the thing and you say, hey, what do you know? There's one of the damn things. You say to the PC, look, look, I cleaned your needle. See? Goes tick tock thud. But the process, the routine, R212, is specially designed in training, and its training is based on that. Walk before you read a book about walking. And then you want to know how to walk, read a book. In other words, get the auditing done. Get auditing done. Now, this only has one liability. You've got to have somebody around who has to know how to untangle a case. And that's the subject of this lecture. If you're going to let all these people sit there in a co-audit and audit, why, they've got to have somebody there who is backing it up and who can untangle all these wild goofs that are being made. Because these goofs are going to be made, man. And this, of course, is all part of it. This person is sitting there, and it's kind of a rock-slammy kind of auditor anyhow, and he's sitting there and he says, now look, look, I closed it just like you said. No, I don't. DC looks like hell. You got to know the right answer. You say you do so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And then hover over him like a dark vulture shadow. Make sure that he does just those things. He finds himself sitting there looking at a result. This kind of surprises him. When this happens to him and so forth, fine. But supposing several of these goofs got by, as in any large group doing a co-audit, supposing several of these goofs got by. And you got a case that's hanging its head. Well, now, the basis of the training of 212 is use it, see that it produces a result, and let that auditor get a subjective reality on it. That modus operandi is totally defeated by one mucked up case. Well, R212 won't muck up one case and be beneficial to 15 more, providing somebody knows how to untangle them. Well, as many of you right at the present moment are in the stage of getting a good solid reality on R212, you're not yet up to the stage of untangling a case. And I threw you an awful bomb in the last lecture saying you've got to clean up a needle, and that's what a clean needle looks like, and practically laid you out cold. I might as well do the same thing in this lecture and say, well, you think you're going to know all about R212. Well, there's a special technology on top of R212 of how do you straighten out a case that's been goofed by R212. See, so it isn't enough to know how to do R212. You've got to know how to straighten out a case that has been goofed on R212. So you would be very interested that this whole technology consists of simply then doing R212 right. And the only crime that is irreparable, there is one irreparable crime, is to lose the guy's papers and reports. You can't do very much about it if you do that. So that becomes the one thing you have to safeguard. And one of the ways of losing reports is careless labeling. You don't have the PC's initials and a date and the page number and the question being asked on a separate sheet of paper. See, this piece of paper then can drift. Here's a long sheet of paper, and it's got all kinds of names on it and items on it, and it goes down to the bottom, but it joins up with nothing else, and you don't know where it came from. One fine day, somebody drops the folder. That's all it can wash up a case in R212. Take my word for it, that's all it can wash it up. So it doesn't become just a weird idea to label each separate sheet. See, it's not the top of every page. It's just, let's make sure that every sheet, see, every separate piece of paper has the PC's name, the date, and the question, even in shorthand. Let's suppose he's opposing roses. It's, it at least says W/W op roses. See? And maybe that's a four-way sheet, one of these big folds. Well, actually, it only has to be on that sheet once because nobody's going to tear that sheet in half. That makes an identifiable sheet, and you can get the folder back into some kind of shape. Now, it's very interesting that in the last two or three days, well, not the last two or three days, in the last week, I've sorted out several cases, two of them very noteworthily. Mary Sue was sorting out one last night, or night before last, rather. And let me tell you, if it hadn't have been for those labeled sheets, why, we just would have been from nowhere, see. But because those labeled sheets existed, and the thing could be assembled back into sequence, which it had fallen out of, we could find out what the devil had gone on from the lists. And in one of them, there was a demonstration had actually picked up a slamming item. The item had never slammed since, and that was what the case was hung on. See, just a fluke that was right there in that demonstration. There it was, RS, slant, RS, slant, RS, and then out. All right, so it went out in a demonstration. That doesn't mean very much because the case had several dead horses, one right after the other. So looking for a list one item, which was RSing. So in patching them up, you want the papers. And when you let anybody do R212, as long as they'll keep the papers. But they got to keep the papers. That you got to impress people with. Because you can really goof a case irreparably if you haven't got the papers. This compares to goals. One case has gone on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Went on and on and on. I don't know. The case must have written 2,000 or 3,000 goals. I finally got very, very curious about it and sent cables every place. And I finally picked up the terminal that gave the PC's goal. And that was the PC's goal. Finally managed to run down, in other words, the piece of data in folders that delivered the PC's goal into our hands. It was on another list. You'll run into that too. You'll be looking for the PC's goal and the PC's goal. This is on any of the lists. You start going back and nulling lists. Looking and looking and looking and looking. Then you remember there was a goals list and a handbook for pre-clears. PC's goal appears as number one on it. See? You get kind of nervy when you realize that most of those handbook for pre-clears that people have been filling out over the years have been thrown away and they're not any longer available. There was a little goals list. But with R212, it is even more important. We now have the techniques that if you did them long enough on the PC and followed down along the track long enough, the goal would finally dump out in your lap. He isn't totally stopped. But supposing somebody has stopped R212, R212 then becomes, in its papers and administration, becomes more important than a goals list. Now, I was down digging through folders, some of your folders, the last few days. I was very, very, very impressed with the near possibility of not putting the case back together again. And in one of these cases, the key list was only 2 pages long. The auditor called it a complete list, see? We didn't know what it was or what question had been asked. It didn't appear on the auditor's report. And that list had been picked out of the PC's folder by the auditor and had been put in his own papers. We were tearing the place apart trying to find that one sheet of paper. When you figure out the number of sheets of paper that go through your hands on R212, any one of them, you see, might contain that one piece of data. And we found out what we had to know, that that list was only 2 pages long, and that 2 items had been found on it, neither one of which are est. The list was not complete, and we had found where the bypassed item was. Very, very interesting. Case had hung up there. That wasn't what we immediately started work over the case with. We started earlier than that on another bypassed item, which we got record of, which I myself had remembered. I remembered it. It was not part of the PC's record. That's how touchy this sort of thing can be. Mark down what happens. Mark down what RSs. I don't care how many notes and scribbles that you add to sheets of paper and lists, how much data there is there. The key data that you want is, did it RS? Were things RSing when they were written down? In other words, was it a rock slamming list? Was there one rock slam on it at least? Pain and sin isn't as important in listing or nulling. It isn't as important to note pain or sin because you can make a special test for that. But it's sure important to note down when, what, which RSs. DR is not as important as an RS, but a DR tends to become important on a list that you're going to represent. But what this list came from, what was being listed, how many pages does it consist of? You know, numbering those pages, you go down the line. And what did you do with it? What did you do with that item? That becomes very important. The tiger drilled items, and this in almost every case auditors don't make enough notations on. When they tiger drill it, what happened? Did it RS during cleaning buttons of the tiger drill? And then not RS when they said it? You know, little pieces of data, the observation of what happened while they were tiger drilling this thing, can be of considerable benefit. The auditor's report is not as important as the list, because you always confirm the auditor's report by finding the list to which it relates. My auditor's reports on 212 are rather sketchy. I'm usually going very fast and too much on the fly to get very much down in the auditor's report, so I tend to put it down on lists. But I sure try to put lots of data down on lists. And then I'll go back and summate the session as to what the results of everything was and put any piece of data that I had on the auditor's report. In other words, the auditor's report doesn't become a long column of TA reads. Matter of fact, TA reads are relatively unnecessary. We don't much care what happened during the listing or during the nulling. We really don't care whether the TA moved or didn't move. It's relatively insignificant. But what is significant, the needle behavior, that's very important. And go back at the end of the session. I've got the TA at the beginning of the session. I've got the range of the TA during the nulling, and I just make a note of that. Kept it on the list, see? Just say, well, it was high and low, and it was moving fast, or something like this, any kind of notation. And then very detailed results of the session. Results. The auditor's report, then, does not become an action report, which is blow by blow during the session. It becomes a summation report, which is just what it is. It says, report, meaning this is what I did during the session. He writes it up with great rapidity. He said, we tiger drilled wedding bells and it all came to nothing. I guess the list is incomplete. We had four items in, cat whiskers, catfishes, and wedding bells, and tarts. PC couldn't add any of them up. I don't care what he says in the auditor's report. This is the final conclusion of the session. And then some hint as to where it should go from there in the auditor's opinion. Future. Tomorrow I ought to. See? Case needs wedding bell tiger drilled or the list completed. Case has got to have Scientology organizations opposed. And even if he isn't going to do it tomorrow, this has become obvious that this has to be done. In other words, what should be done with the case should appear on the auditor's report. And the results of what the person did should appear on the auditor's reports. In other words, that auditor's session either added up to nothing, or it added up to maybe, or it added up to a win. And it doesn't matter what it add up to. The auditor shouldn't be sitting there trying to give anybody a sales talk. All you want to know is, did you get anything done? And the PC says, of course, you've got your goals. You got your LOL, life and livingness. You got your gains. You got these things noted on the report. You've got a couple of cognitions the PC had, something like that. Generally, they give you some horrendous cognition or another. Generally enough to give the cognition that they recall in their gains. That if it's that big, it'll last over two gains, you see. Not interested in the little tiny cognitions. But basically, what did we get done in this session? See? We nulled three quarters of the list and had a hell of a time keeping in the midroots. List looks like it's incomplete. Now, that isn't anything more than a guess. He'll find out tomorrow the list was complete. Or he won't find it out. In other words, it doesn't have to be a proven fact what his guesses were on the thing. In other words, he doesn't have to be right in these reports. But the report consists of basically what was accomplished and what should be done. And if you get those into the report, you'll save a lot of PC's bacon. Also, an instructor looking it over can say, hey, don't, you know, that's a bum one. You say this ought to be represented. It's slamming, man. It's slamming. You never represent a slamming RI. You just never do that. And you can catch this up, don't you think, on marking reports. Those are the important things. The list itself stays as an integral part of the session, of course. And usually when I'm through with a list, I'll pin the report to it. You know, give it a staple or something. I know you don't have many staplers available. But that's when I'm all through with a list. I'll keep a list I'm using floating on forward in the folders. Perfectly safe for that to happen, don't you see? But the point I'm trying to make here is the first point of repairing a case is having the data with which to repair the case. And you look back an auditor's report, if you say what should be done with the case, by end of session you've made up your mind what you should do with the case. The auditor's reports of that period say, I don't care if somebody's DPing it. Somebody is saying, now the thing for you to do is you've got to represent these three additional items which you found on list one and that sort of thing. If the auditor thinks something else should be done, well, put it down. It doesn't come as a source of argument. Nobody will be insulted about it. It's on the basis of we'll go ahead and represent the remaining items on list one, but I think personally that cat whiskers should be opposed. At least somebody trying to put the case back together again goes back through that thing and he says, hey, that auditor there thought cat whiskers ought to be opposed that time. It must have been quite a slamming item at that time. So he goes on in and investigates cat whiskers, don't you see? And he says, aha, see, you could pick up a point there with which to put a case back together again. But now, lay aside the idea, as of now, that there are endless rules in R212. There are not. If you got the idea that there are tremendous numbers of special cases and awful variables and all kinds of things like that, and there are special things that you do here and there and so on, you'll be in a state of defeat about putting a case back together again. Because you say, look at all the tremendous variables which could be done with this case. First thing you start out with is there are only, the chief thing that allows up a case, really louse a case up, is to take a rock-slamming item and represent it. I can tell you from experience that that will louse a case up. It won't louse all cases up. It won't louse them up every time. You understand? But every few cases, the thing that should have been opposed was actually represented. And you get that roof coming off, particularly if it's a list one item. Now, that's peculiarly true of list one items. You want to make your PC look like he's 80 and the roof has fallen in, why, you just take something that's slamming like mad and say, we'll make the PC look good and we'll represent it. Oh, you just done him in. See, that's the tension. The attention factor. See, the PC should be watching at this fist coming toward his nose, and somebody saying, dear, do you want your coffee? Splits his attention up. He has kind of a feeling like he's going nuts all the time he's doing this represent list. He knows he shouldn't be representing it. He knows he should be staying in there with the fixed bayonets, you know? And he'll go along with it and do it, the idiot. He'd tell you he's feeling fine, you know, and he'd look older and older and rougher and rougher. So then naturally, if that's one of the things you mustn't do at the highest level, then that's the thing you should look for as having been done. In patching them up. Did we represent something we should have opposed? That's your first question. Opposing things is senior to representing them. And that will account for a great deal. You find that somewhere along the line. It'll stand out like a sore thumb. You look on the auditing of the second of the month, and the auditing says, checked out list one. HGC RSing. Or you find that old assessment, and it says HGCRS. And on the auditing of the third of the month, we get the piece of paper, and it says, who or what does HGC represent to you? Wrong wording, messed up. What's this? Oh, my God, see? Should have been a pose, man, see? So you say, that's it. Now, in repairing a case, always take the first list one mistake as your first repair action. List one, that has priority. Not because we're trying to safeguard Scientology, but just because it does has more bearing on an auditing session than any other single list. So it has priority. You patch up the list one goofs before you patch up some other goof, and you'll find out someday this guy, or you'll find a folder that'll look something like this. It's almost impossible to even estimate the number of goofs numerically, the combinations of goofs, you see. Combinations can just be infinite. Auditor plunged, found something RSing, see? Found something going RS, so they just took this and represented it. Well, you don't quite know what it is. And it was his mother's aunt. Mother's aunt. Well, you say, that's a hell of a mistake, see? It RS'd. If he found it. He didn't find it on any list. Where'd he get it? Well, he probably got it in the rudiments. Oh, well. So that's a highly suspect item already. And actually, we'll have very little goof-up for the case as a result. We don't know whether it was right, so on. But we find out that the following Monday, somebody got on the auditor's neck and said, list one, assess out list one. And we find out that we had a DR on Scientology books. And we look over the next folder, you know, the next list, and it says, who or what would Scientology books oppose? Exact DR, Scientology books oppose. Nuts. It may say Scientology books, sin. And then who or what would Scientology books oppose? That's a nice basket, see, of errors. DR, well, you don't oppose DRs. The thing had sin on it, so it would who or what would oppose Scientology books would be right. You see how you can patch it up again. But you've still got my mother's aunt back here rock slamming. Well, just brush her off. Return her to the poorhouse or wherever she came from. Because it's your list one. Your list one goof takes priority. That's the first one you put together. The first goof you correct is a list one goof. And the biggest goof on list one is to represent when you should have opposed. Now, oddly enough, you can oppose anything with less damage than reverse way two. In other words, you can oppose a DR with less damage than representing an RS. Quite interesting. But you don't even have to know a refinement of that particular character. You know that RSs should be opposed. That's just the rule. Thing RS, so you opposed it. Now, there's your first rule of patch-up, is take the first goof you can find on a Scientology list. Now, how many of these goofs can there be? There could probably be an infinite number of goofs, but there are fortunately just a few things to do right. Rule, headlight rule is, if it RS'd, you oppose it. Now, which way you oppose it has some bearing on it. And if you can't make up your mind which way, if it was opposed right, just tell the auditor to oppose it both ways till one is going well, and then just keep on opposing it that way. PCs often tell you fibs, or they can't tell the difference between pain and sen, or something like this. Now, the closer things are to present time, the more possibly they will be coterms. See? Now, a coterm is opposed both ways. Who or what would it oppose? Who or what would oppose it? And you'll find one of them after a little while will run smoother than the other one. So you use the one that runs smoother and seems to be producing more interest and action. Opposing a coterm is quite tricky, and therefore R212 has more of this trouble than 3GA crisscross, because you get more coterms. The guy's knees are in sin and his skull is in pain. And it's rock slamming. All right, which way do you go about it? This is the commonest goof I'm giving you right now. Didn't complete the list. That is the commonest goof, and will probably be the commonest goof to the end of R212's days. And tried to figure out some way to make it oppose without completing the list. Actually spend more time on trying to match it all up than in completing the list. Now, one of the reasons the list doesn't complete is this coterm thing. Opposition list must be completed, because there is the perfect way to leave a bypassed item. You could actually keep on dumping represent lists without much liability. Don't worry about how many represent lists got dumped. No, just don't worry too much about it, because the PC's tension is not very thoroughly fixated on them. There's lots of RSs to be found in the bank. There's lots of items to come up, and that item will probably come up again on some other list. But the opposition, when you start to oppose something, you key it in. And the commonest goof on that, on R212, is the auditor didn't hit it both ways too. I'm talking about the commonest goof is the incomplete list, but the auditor didn't hit it both ways too. He didn't say oppose it and it oppose, and sort out which one was slamming best, but just went at the thing in reverse because the PC said he had a pain in his back and neglected to mention all this sin on his skull for the excellent reason that he always has that. So your patch-up action so far, let me trace this for you again, is to find the earliest goof you can find on list one. That takes priority. And get your opposition list, takes priority over represent. Get your opposition list completed. And one of the reasons it didn't get completed is that it was a coterm. And it was being opposed wrong way too. And the remedy for that, of course, is just to continue the list, swapping it around the other way. And you can actually swap it back and forth. You can do half a page on oppose it and another half a page on it oppose. You all of a sudden find that thing is just running like hot butter on it oppose, so just don't bother to turn it around the other way again. Just let it run. That's not infallible. That is not infallible, because the item maybe by this time is deaded down, so you can't tell whether it's RSing or not, or if it ever RSed. It might be wrong source, don't you see? But if it's wrong source, it never becomes nullable. That's your infallible test for wrong source. Never becomes nullable. Nullable is different than find an item on it. Actually, a list which is from wrong source, if it's a goofed up list, you can't get 10 items down it. You just can't. Just a dirty needle comes on and it just starts all going to hell in a balloon. You're lucky if you can get 3. That's a non-nullable list. So extend that list. That's high priority. And you must remember that there's a trick in extending an opposed list, and that is you reverse it the other way too. And if the thing is gone for 1,000 items of opposition and was nullable, if it was nullable on opposition, it was not wrong source, don't you see? You can null anything that is an opposition list if it was going up against a rock-slamming item. And you get on down the line, it's gone 1,000 items into this auditor's hands, and it hasn't produced any RI, well, you can just bet your bottom dollar it's been opposed reverse way too. In other words, you're saying, who or what would oppose Scientology books? And the PC is a Scientology book. It should have been, who or what should Scientology books oppose? Now, what do you do with that list? Do you tell somebody to null it all over again? No, here's a rule. Never re-null. I see on your papers you occasionally do. Why? If the commonest error is an incomplete list, why don't you just extend it and null what you now got? Don't say that... Well, the guy just missed the item. Well, let's get over into another department now. I finish up with extend that opposed list. Represent lists, don't pay much attention to them. Remember, we're patching this case up. So we're going to specialize in Scientology list first. We're going to specialize in opposition lists. And the commonest thing wrong with the opposition list is somebody's got it going backwards. So that's not very much we have to patch up here, is it? Well, look it over. You got those little points I just sketched over? That's actually not very much to look for, not very much to patch up. That's what you're going to look for. Next thing you're going to look at is another type of case. Now, I better tell you the rest of the patch up on this other case. You just keep doing just what I said. You take the next list one goof up, and the next opposition goof up from it. See, the guy had a long represent list. He had a rock. He had a reliable item on that, and nobody opposed it. See, so there's goof ups. You just keep doing this. See, finding the list one items that have been neglected, or list one phenomena that have not been properly reported or cited or something of the sort, and then patch up the opposition lists that go along with it. See? All those opposition lists, get those all patched up. That's actually the basic fundamental of patching up a case. Just doing those things. No more than that. It's not very complicated. Let's take now a different type of case. You take any new group on R212, you'll have several members of that group who will become charging into you, telling you that it doesn't work in one phrase, theology, or another. And this is another type of case to be patched up. You understand it's another type of auditor. That it's not going right. This is the not going right. Now, in actual fact, you don't have to do too much to trace this one back. The case that isn't going right is simply not going right because one of two things have happened. An RS has been missed on list one and has not been opposed, or somebody shifted the cycle of action. It's just those two things that can be wrong with it. Just those two things. RS has been missed. And the other one is, of course, that somebody has knocked off a cycle of action. Now, opposition cycles of action are always more important than represent cycles of action. So if you want to put the case back together again in a hurry, you specialize in opposition cycles of action. Which opposition cycle of action was not completed first? And you simply go back and complete that cycle of action, then take the next one consecutively and complete that cycle of action. Take the next one consecutively. You get the idea. In other words, somebody wrote up an opposition list of 20 and it should have been 2,000. Something wild like that. See? And you get those cycles of action completed consecutively. The only thing that falls out of sequence, of course, is your list one. Maybe the guy didn't get on the list one until the fifth list was done. Some reason or other. Yeah, well, you're going to find all kinds of things. Didn't do list one, said that we're doing only raw meat and they've never heard of Scientology, so therefore we'll omit list one, see? Something like that. And then finally decided to get on the list one just to make a clean job of it. And then you see a great big goof, you see? You see Scientology RS. And then you see a represent list. Well, you push that one back to the first action which you undertake. And then from that one come forward with all the other incomplete cycles of action. See, it's just list one that spoils this rule of take the cycles of action which haven't been completed from the first cycle of action to the that was incomplete till now. See, it's just list one that pushes this out of order. If you ever get one like that, you'll be scratching your head saying, I wonder which one I take up first. Well, you answer it with list one. And if you've got to answer it on list one, which goof on list one was first? And you do that one. See, it's list one first, or the first goof on list one first, and that's the way you put it together. Now you're going to see the dead horse case. See, this case has been, this is dead horses, dead horses, dead horses. Nobody can see an RS. Nobody can find an RS on this case. And this just about drives everybody daffy. Well, this already is an incomplete cycle of action case, possibly. You're getting a lot of dead horses. Look for that failure to oppose, particularly on list one. That is the big exclamation point blunder. Not because I say so, and not because the gods say so, and not because of any other authority. It just so happens, actually, in this very room, there were about four cases that were laying lots of dead horses. Highway was just getting stacked up with them. It was getting so the Sanitary Commission was going to complain. Until the RSing item on list one was found and opposed, and at that moment the dead horse phenomenon ceased. See, that was there's at least four cases that I know of right in this room that did just that. So that shows you that's fairly important. So important that on one case, we simply just picked it out of the hat and said, all right, so the list at some time or another must have RS'd. We're just going to write an opposition Scientology list. And we did, and it RS'd, and it's the first RS's ever seen on that PC. This was done very indelicately, by the way. If I myself had been doing it as an auditor, I would have gotten a hold of the PC, and I would have sort of tiger-drilled some of the key things on list one, see, and so forth. But I decided we'd just do this one blundersomely, and I said, just post Scientology. You know, they did, and it's now rock-slamming like mad. Interesting. Now, so it isn't because anybody has said so that this is true. If you can actually get these dead horse cases. Now, oddly enough, the only dead horse cases which we have are all under that category. RSing item on list one which wasn't opposed. That's every one we have. But then remember, we're kind of a special group. We've had lots of audit and lots of this and been around Scientology and orgs lots. So this is not... This is not a pure proof. So we can extend it over to saying that a case that is now laying dead horses has an RSing item which hasn't been opposed. This is a raw meat case. He was a member of the 137th Infantry, and He was just sent in by his commanding officer to be processed, and he's never heard of you or anything else, you see. And you're trying to patch up this case after he's been running a co-audit or something like that. All you're going to do is look for the RSing item that was goofed. It must be in restimulation. Must be in restimulation. Remember, this is a patch-up lecture. It's not what you do with this guy. Whatever was done with him, there must have been an RSing item that wasn't opposed, and the case has hung up ever since. This case is just laying dead horses now. So, if a case is doing nothing but dead horses, one of two things is true. First and foremost is an RSing item has not been opposed, or if opposed, was not completed. And the other one is, the auditor needed a white cane. This actually happened right here. An auditor who was reporting no RSs was getting them and wasn't seeing them, didn't know what the RSs were. It happened twice here. That sounds pretty impossible, but it has happened. So it's something that in case patch-up has to have some allowance made for, particularly in a co-audit where you don't have highly trained people. You'd have to watch for that one. And the question you ask, is the case laying dead horses? Now, what you do, you have to do an observation of this one. You let him extend one of the dead lists and see if it RSs. If you're auditing the case to get it patched up, why, nothing is easier. Let's take one of these so-called dead horse lists. Let's sort it out this way. We find no evidence of any kind that the case is RS'd on list one. We can't pick up anything with regard to that. We've even opposed something on list one and told them to. Nothing seemed to happen, and we're just getting RS's. Then we assume that the auditor can't see an RS. That's sort of simple, isn't it? Now, how you catch up with that one to patch it up, that's something else, because it takes observational time and it takes this. But this, nevertheless, can exist. Now, you mustn't overlook that as a point. Needle's falling off the pin. You can hear it hitting both sides of the meter clear across the room. No, the case hasn't RS'd. See? You also will get complaints about cases RSing too much. RS so much you can't get the rudiments in. Now, I just answered a question on this sort. Would a case continue to RS while you represented something they weren't RSing on? The answer is no. Fastest way in the world to turn off an RS is just to start representing on something that would become a dead horse. By the time you've asked the PC for three items, you'll have no RS. In other words, the rule is that a case will only continue to RS when the subject from which the RS is coming continues to be addressed by the auditor. In other words, you have to stay on that subject to keep up with the RS. A phantom slam doesn't do this. You have to be listing the right list to have the RS on it. I'll give you that security. In other words, there aren't a whole bunch of cases whereby somebody just continues to RS forever, even though you're listing peanuts. The case actually is RSing simply because they're protesting listing on peanuts. No. By the time you'd gotten the third item on peanuts, the RS would be off. You see what I mean? In other words, your rudiments won't continue to RS just because they are out while you're listing on something else. In other words, if there is an RS on the list as you're coming down the line, you haven't got an RS from something else which is lousing up your list if it's a nice continuous RS. Do you understand? There isn't too much RS, in other words. P People don't talk about peanuts and RS on chimneys. Now, even the Phantom Slam tends to behave. This is what's peculiar also. You don't ever get a Phantom Slam on an uncharged list, which should be very heartening to you. The list has to be hotter than a pistol to turn the slam on. And the Phantom Slam may turn on, however, and louse you up here and there on the list as to which item is rock slamming while you are trying to straighten them out. But a Phantom Slam always comes on and goes off, and comes on and goes off. And a Phantom Slam has this characteristic, that it never obeys the auditor. The Phantom Slam never obeys the auditor. Your basic impatience with this type of case is they'll never do what you tell them. Also, that's completely aside from the Phantom Slam. You say, has anything been suppressed? And they don't think about suppressing something. They think about something else. And so forth. But right along with this, a Phantom Slam never obeys the auditor. You got a rock slamming item, catfish. You say, catfish. A Phantom Slam does not turn on when you say catfish. But catfish turns on when you say catfish. You say catfish. Catfish is a slamming item. It slams. It keeps on slamming until the PC's mind shifts, tension shifts, and the PC does a suppress. You pull the suppress and the careful of off, and it slams again. But because you're working with present time items, you can over tiger drill your items. You can tiger drill an item to death. Tiger drilling must be brief on 212. That's a good one to remember. You can kill an item with tiger drill. I've given you most of the data now on case patch-up. Not very painful, was it? Now you want to get fancy. You're going to get fancy now. And you're going to go back, and you're going to try to patch up this case. Case isn't doing too badly. You're going to look for list one, oppositions, failures, complete cycle of action, incompletes. In the case that has dead horses, you're going to assume something must have slammed at some time or another on list one has been missed. That's your primary source of dead horses. Or, to some slight degree, that the auditor needs a white cane. That's patch up. That's not very tough. Now, you in running a case are a different situation entirely. That's how you patch one up. How can you misrun a case? Well, I won't give a lecture on the subject. We haven't got enough time. We haven't got enough tape. Tape costs money. The time you've bought 40, 50 reels of tape, you feel it. We just would have scratched the top of the subject. So it's very lucky that case patch-up is so simple. Because the number of things that you can do wrong in 212, I'm sure, have not been estimated. I'm sure that nobody could possibly do it. Because there'll be variations, 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 variations. I've long since ceased to try to outguess the number of variations there could be of a simple procedure. Almost infinite. I have had losses on this man. My self-confidence in my imagination has been staggered by this. I think I've dreamed up all the reasons why, all the variations that can be done. And my God, I'm always out-created. I don't say that sarcastically, but it's just a little game that I sort of play. Well, I keep my eye open. Somebody's going to dream up a new one. And they always do. But it'll be something as real in crosswise. You know, like opposition lists actually should dirty read, shouldn't they? Now, if opposition lists consistently dirty read, why, then, shouldn't you represent what dirty reads on the biggest dirty read that you get in order to establish whether or not it had any rock slam? You could get these things without count. You'll have all of these things pulled on you. So you better not get an idea that there are infinite numbers of special cases to 212. Otherwise, you will feel like you're drowning, because there are infinite numbers of things that can be done wrong. This is one of them. And this is, by the way, the commonest. Somebody goes on representing and representing and representing, and this is also mentioned because it's part of case patch-up, representing and representing and representing and representing, and they get some slams, doesn't know, they go on representing, and they never check what they are representing. And they will leave a list one particularly item slamming like crazy. It didn't slam when they did the assessment. It just got a little tiny scrub. And they never, never, never go back to find out if the item that they're representing is now slamming. Because it will, being unburdened. Of course, doing that a listing, a represent list from an item, if the item's ever going to slam, that will make it slam better than tiger drilling. If you wanted to make something fire better, it was firing yesterday, it isn't firing today, it wouldn't louse up the PC if you got 10 or 15 items off of it on a represent. I don't advocate that. I'm just saying it would do that. Instead of tiger drilling it, get 10 or 15 items off, you find out it produced the same effect. This thing is now slamming again. So, but that's just ignoring a slamming item. They never check it. Nothing is ever checked out. Another thing that happens sometimes, and this is something that you should do with 212, well, let's see, it's part of the rules, is when you're doing a represent list on something, well, check the item to find out if it is now slamming. You very often will find that the item that you're representing is now slamming. Quite often find this. You've got situations where the auditor has just gone totally knuckleheaded about anything and everything in the book. But normally, false reports will give you the least difficulty. False reports. You very seldom get a false report. There's only one thing the PC says that has been found out to be not too accurate. PCs will tell you the truth in all cases but pain or sin. And they'll do a big sell on pain or sin. They can have that dull pressure against their forehead and say it's a pain, and knowingly lie about it. They don't even make a mistake. I mean, there's been too many of that. And PCs will tell the auditor lies, and also will tell the auditor lies about the fact that they're invalidating items. We found PCs doing that. They don't want to list on the thing, so they invalidate the items as they hand out the auditor. Well, they could only do that to somebody who was not demanding a clean needle before he started nulling or something, because all that material would have to be pulled up. But in final essence, the repair of a 212 activity is very simple. It just follows the exact materials I've given you. Doing 212, of course, follows that same thing in order of importance. The more items you bypass, the more gummy the case is going to be. That's for sure. The more times you try to represent rock-slamming items, the foggier the case is going to get. The more incomplete cycles of action you stack up on the case, well, the less luck you're going to have. So running the case parallels repairing the case. And it's the same rules of running the case. fantastic how an auditor will sell himself on the completeness of the list, try to put together items, how the PC will go along with him. There are only six items left in. Each of them were DRing. And we finally packaged them up. You did. Where's the RI? It never occurred. Matt, of course, you know right there, it was an incomplete list. You never had a rock slam an item come off the list. Well, that rock slam an item never came off the list because the PC never put it on the list. Very simple explanation. List is incomplete. It all comes under the heading of the patch up I gave you. This is relatively simple once you break yourself down on the amount of randomity and importances which you think you see around in it, and actually groove it down to exactly what it is. It's a process of opposing rock slamming items and represent those that don't in order to get rock slamming items so as to oppose them and so take apart the GPM. The closer you enter to the auditing session, the less PTP the PC is going to be audited over the top of, so you have R212. There are other things you can do with R212, and you're going to get into an embarrassment someday, a horrible, horrible embarrassment. That embarrassment will be this, as you keep getting rocket reads on items. You're supposed to be doing 212. Don't get rock slams, you get rocket reads. And sooner or later, somebody's going to come to you with this terrible problem. Well, the first thing you do is establish whether or not it was a rocket read. And if it was a rocket read is superior to a rock slam. That's all there is to that. So the item rocket read, so you oppose it. Simple. Then you do that, and you're very, very embarrassed by the whole thing because the PC keeps continually intruding his goal into the session. What do you do that? Well, the best thing to do then is to get the goal checked out, tell the PC whether it is or isn't, and then go on running 212. That's your best repair for that embarrassing situation. If you find a rocket reading item, your first action is to oppose it, of course. And then use it to find a goal with, if the PC hasn't already laid his goal in your lab. And if you find a goal, get it checked out. Don't leave it in doubt. Don't have the PC sitting there for the next 7 days wondering if that's his goal, because it acts just like a wrong goal all the way. Now get it checked out. Get it checked out right now. And if you can't check it out, why, fine, clean it up a little bit more and check it out. Then the PC's got his goal, and he'll find out he'll do 212 better. Remember that even though you do have his goal, there's no reason he can run on his goal. We've had case after case that couldn't go clear, mostly because they had too much 212 bric-a-brac sitting in the session, and they were trying to clear across the top of a PTP. And you know that they could be forced all the way to free needle, but it never quite stays free. And that can go on for hundreds of hours, we already know. Just because, actually, there's a PTP connected with the sessions. PTP connected with Scientology. They can't get across it, and it's always still there, and it never blows clear. And it's sort of like trying to empty a pot with a lid on. Can't be done. We've seen case after case after case. In fact, about 80% of all cases that have tried to go clear are hung up on that exact one right there. That's how important R212 is. It isn't a case of something that an HPA can do, or a simple thing, or a simple way to produce a good result on a PC. It is simply that people will never go clear unless 212 is run right. Okay? Thank you very much.